morning. If you have slides, that's not going to be on your slides. It's not going to be on our slides. I felt like we should read a little bit of Mark 12 real fast. I'll be back in a minute. Everyone be cool. We want to talk about going that extra mile this morning, being that servant. I'm talking about stepping out of our comfort zone, amen? And, let's be honest, that's a little bit harder to do this time of year. We got so many things going on. You gotta get the money up for your four, you know, or whatever. I mean, we all have needs. We got to put food on the table. We got to pay bills. We got all that sort of thing going on. But plus, we have that extra stressor. We talked about that a couple years ago. Those added stressors. We got to do the Christmas and all that stuff. So, with all that in mind, it's really, really hard to step out of an already uncomfortable situation and be a blessing to another family, or actually get on your knees and intercede for somebody that's going through something. Amen? I want you to look around. Okay, this is your family. This is your extended family. This is the family or the part of the church that you feel like the Lord has you here for this time and this season, and we'd love to keep you around forever. But, you know, that's between you and the Lord. The Lord moves people around all the time. But this is your church family. And if you know about a need, you know about somebody going through something, the least you can do, which is the most you can do, is bring them before the Lord and earnestly pray for them that the Lord will move in their life. Amen? A lot of people in this congregation are going through physical trials. You know, and some folks in here are going through physical trials that it doesn't look like there's an end to them, you know. Like the doctors say, well, this is just how your quality of life's going to be. You just have to learn to deal with it. Okay, so if you know somebody's hurting, you know, let's step in there. Let's do something about that. Amen. People are struggling financially. There's just a lot of weights on a lot of people. And, you know, if you're going through those trials, those storms, those corrections, those situations that we all go through, you know, I just invite you to give it to the Lord this morning. But as your brother and sister in Christ, you know, when you see them going through something, get with them, you know, get with them. Even if it's just a, what is that thing they got at Christmas time, the secret Santee? Or whatever, you can be a secret prayer warrior, you know, and just pray. Every week we look in the bulletin, and me and Rick do the bulletin. Rick does the hard part, the prayer requests, Rick, they're not getting any smaller, are they? I mean, don't get me wrong, needs are getting met, but man, you know, it's just the world we live in, man. People are hurting. People are struggling. We all know people that are sick. So we have those prayer requests. If you're ever sitting at home and you're like, I've already seen this episode of the 18, 14 times. How about we pray for those needs in that prayer request? There is much to do. There's much to pray about. Amen. Let's pray for our nation. We got a new president about to take office. We got all this stuff, man. If you love this nation, let's pray for it. So what are we talking about? We're talking about getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know what I mean? If the Lord's calling you to do something, then by all means, we need to get out there and do it. We want to be obedient to that. Amen? And it's not lost to me, as I was preparing this sermon, my mind was flooded with just the awesome attributes of this church, of the people. I know all you guys, you know, but I was thinking about you guys, and I'm like, man, we have awesome, awesome people in this church for a church this size. You know what I mean? I didn't have to think too hard or dig too deep or make up anything, heaven forbid. You know what I mean? But I'm thinking about, you know, the foster parents, the adoptive parents. And it was like, man, that's what I'm talking about, man. When you feel that tugging, you know what I mean? You're like, man, I'm not going to get peace until I do this. But, you know, instead of looking the other way, instead of being a church of Jonahs or being a family of Jonahs, and don't get me wrong, I'm not down on Jonah. He ended up doing it. But what I'm saying, we can run from the Lord's will in our life, and nothing good's going to come out of that. You know what I mean? But I see people in here that are going that extra mile, man. I see people that are up here when I'm coming up here that are working on that youth building. Ain't no one patting them on the back. Ain't no one paying them to do that. And a lot of times, times, man, it's money out of, well, yeah, all the time, a lot of the time, most of the time, it's money out of their own pocket, man. You know, I just want to do this. I want to help out. This is my church. I'm doing this for the future of this church. I'm doing this for the future of the body of Christ. I know we all can't do that sort of thing, and this isn't a push or a pull to try and get you to come work on that youth building, but if you think the Lord wants you to do it, then come over, you know. You don't need me. I mean, you don't need me to be down there. You know, if you see something, you want to come down there. These kids, man, the Merrill kids come down there and they're scraping paint and stuff like that. Hoot dog. All those people said hoot dog. Amen. That's good. Hoot dog. Okay. You guys do look handsome today. You guys look like early January. Early January, late December. You know what that means? No one knows what that means? Well, you know, man, at Christmas, what do you get at Christmas? You get the automatic toothbrush. You get all the cool hygienic products. You get the body wash. And you know what I mean? Everyone's looking good early January, man. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we got going on here, early January looking bunch of folks. Okay, so God is good. Did anyone turn to Mark? Mark 12? Okay, Mark 12, and yes, it's come to this. Love the Lord your God. Everybody with me? Luke 12 and verse 30. I don't know if I said that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Hey, that's what God wants out of us. That's a commandment. That is an order from the Lord. He's saying, hey, if you're mine, I want you to be all mine. He's not saying you can't have hobbies. We know that. He's not saying you can't be married. He's saying, I got to be number one. I want you to have a Christ-centered life. I want you to be devoted to me. Amen? So here we are, and this is what the Lord asks of us. Now look at this next verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's love God with everything. Christ-centered thoughts, Christ-centered actions. Now listen, the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Bible right there, summed up. That's what God asks of you, summed up. Love me and love your fellow man. Love your neighbor. Now, you guys are smart, smarter than the average church. I'll give you that. I'm playing. Man, you can hear a pin drop. This is an awesome bunch of folks, man. Don't get me wrong. But you know, that's not just talking about the guy sitting next to you. That's part of it. It's not just talking about the person you live next to, but it's talking about your sphere, your world, those people around you, okay? God wants to use us in this community, amen? You know what? And if we're busy and about the Lord's business and the small things, guess what he's going to do? He's going to advance us, and he's going to give us more and more and more to do because that's what we're here for, amen? Now, when I first really got on fire for the Lord, this was an amazing time in my life, man. I got really, really on fire for the Lord. And as I was driving around, going about my business, I start seeing these buildings ever so often around where I live. And there's like four of them within a couple miles of where I live. I'm seeing these businesses, these buildings that I've never quite really noticed before. I knew they were there, but I never gave them any thought. They never would enter my mind. But I would drive by these places, and I would be pulled to look into the window. And I'd drive by, and I'd start to think more and more about these buildings. What these nursing homes, these facilities, man. I mean, I was in my mid-20s at this time, okay? Mid-20s, probably about 26, 27, somewhere around there, I could not pass up the nursing homes without my heart just being broken. And then I start to look and really peer in as I'm driving by, and I would see the people in the wheelchairs looking out, you know, just looking out in the driveway, the parking lot, and all that. Couldn't get it out of my mind. So it wasn't too long, and I hate talking about myself in this light, okay, but it's not a prideful thing. I'm just saying that this is what the Lord wants of us. You see what I'm saying this morning? When you feel a tugging, when you feel a pull, when you know the Lord is saying, hey, I want you to do something about this, then that's when you're going to find peace. That's when you're going to find joy. That's when you're going to find fulfillment, is stepping out of your comfort zone and allowing him to use you in those areas. And so I started going to the nursing homes. And when I first got there, I mean, I was like 27 years old, man. I didn't have any training in any of this. I didn't know what I was doing. First couple of times, man, I just kind of walked in and people just looked at me and I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a clue what to do. I brought a Bible and I talked to somebody and I started lining up these people in the nursing home against the wall, and I'd get two or three of them lined up and I'd go get me another one. And by the time I got one lined up against the corner, the other two be kind of just rolling off somewhere, you know? And I didn't know what, I just, oh, no, hold on, we're going to talk about Jesus. Here we go. That really wasn't working too well, but that was a start. That was a start. And I'd sit there and I'd say, today we're going to, you know, we're going to, and I'd just begin to read the word of God, and they would kind of drift off and roll off. And I was like, man, I want to do something, but I don't know what in the world to do. This ain't really cutting it. You know what I mean? But it was that first step of obedience that the Lord began to open up a lot of doors and gave me a lot of, allowed me to meet a lot of really interesting and important people. And the Lord really, really used me in that area. And that was my first ministry that the Lord gave me, was in the nursing homes. And Sister Martin, she probably remembers that because that's where I met her. But man, it morphed into something else, to where I was able to get really awesome relationships with these people. Okay, but if I would not have stepped out of my comfort zone, because in the natural, there was no way in the world I had any business in a nursing home. I had no skills in that area. You know, I'm not trained to do any of that stuff. I'm not a CNA. I'm not none of that. Okay? But I was obedient, and the Lord really used me. So I just want to encourage us this morning. If we have a heart for the Lord, and we love Him and allow ourselves to fall deep in love with the Lord, He is going to give us a burden for our neighbor. He will do that, I promise you, because that was the stage that I was in. I was just falling in, so I was just in love with the Lord. It was a beautiful, not that I'm not in love with Him now, but this was like just this time where He just came so real to me. And keep in mind, I grew up in the church, man. I knew a lot of stuff. I had a lot of head knowledge. But through a series of events, man, He became my Lord. He became my Savior. And I got to the place where I needed Him, and I loved Him because He was there for me. And the more I grew in relationship, the more I could not stay away from people that I saw in need. Amen? That's what I'm talking about this morning. Say, good job, Paul. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Okay, all right, God is good. So anyways, Matthew 1 and verse 18. I believe we have a slide for that. Matthew 1 and verse 18. When I look at the nativity, I see two very obedient servants. I see two people stepping way out of their comfort zone. So we're going to share a little bit of that this morning. Is that cool with you guys? Yeah, and I just want to say this, that the Lord is doing a work in this church, in some people's hearts right now. So just receive it, and let's just keep an attitude of praise. You know what I mean? Of course, listen and all that good stuff. But just let your heart just focus on the goodness of the Lord and let Him do what He wants to do as far as healing some hurts this morning, okay? And patching relationships is what I'm getting, okay? So y'all with me so far? Thank you, Father God, for Your anointed presence in this house, Lord Jesus. We can't do anything on our own, Lord God. Thank You for Your anointing on myself, Lord Jesus. Lord God, bless this congregation. Thank You for the work that You're doing, Lord God, the healing that You're doing, Lord God, in people. Lord Jesus, You're in the business of healing hearts. You're in the business of restoring relationships, and business is booming, Lord. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God, for just blessing this church, Lord Jesus. Bless all the churches this morning. Bless them all, every church that preaches Your gospel, Lord. Strengthen them and using them. Lord God, no weapon formed against this body can prosper, Lord Jesus. We love You and we praise You. Your will be done in this service. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Matthew 1 and verse 18, it's on your monitor. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Now the betrothal process, kind of like engagement, well, it has some similarities to what we would think about an engagement, but it was like a binding contract, okay? And it was more times than not, it was set up by your parents. You didn't have a lot to do with that process. Now, this would be set up. Something would be exchanged, a dowry, a bride payment would be exchanged. And then there would be that contract. And then from 3 months to a year, you would be separated from your future mate. Your mate would go away, the husband would go away, the groom would go away, and he would begin to prepare a house. Get all that kind of stuff in order, okay? The young lady would go away, I mean, she would stay at home, and she would start to work on getting ready for her new life, okay? So this would be an exciting time for Joseph. This would be an exciting time for Mary, but it'd also be a kind of scary time. You guys, you remember when you first, those of you that are married, you remember how kind of scary yet exciting it was when you were about to get married? Okay, let me just see here. Get my pen, I'll make a note. Don't bring that up anymore. Not going to work. Okay, God is good, right? Okay, we won't go down that road. Okay, all right. So anyways, we'll get out 3 minutes earlier. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. So this was a process about a year long to 3 months. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had union, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. That's a bit of a problem, isn't it? So we know how this story works out. Okay, Joseph doesn't really know what in the world's going on. Okay, but Mary has been found to be with child, and we know it's by the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, let me say it like this. Adultery was a big deal, and this was considered adultery in a betrothal situation. Not that Mary committed adultery, you see what I'm saying? But Joseph would look at this and he would think, this little girl that I love very much has committed adultery, or she has cheated on me, or something has happened. She is with child. Now, he would be in his rights by the Mosaic law to take her to the elders, and she could have been stoned to death for this. You see what I'm saying? This was a huge deal in this culture and this society, but this also shows a beautiful picture of the humility of how this man was a God-honoring man, that he said, I'm just going to do this quietly. Amen. I'm just going to slip her a bill of divorce, a paper of divorce. He didn't want to embarrass her. He didn't want to bring any shame on her. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Are y'all with me so far? Oh, God is good, ain't he? But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Okay, now that's super, super important right there. Because God is about to ask Joseph to step way out of his comfort zone. And see, God is asking all of us, hey, I want you to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. It's not about what's going to be on TV tomorrow night. It's not about none of those things. It's not about really your plans. But see, God has a use of us, and he wants to put us to work. Does that make sense this morning? Okay. But what does God say I have for you? I got peace for you. I don't want you to be full of fear, because I'm asking you to do something way bigger than yourselves. So, you know, God has something for us all to do. Amen. There's needs. When we see a need and you're like, I don't have any money, I don't know how to deal with this. Okay, you know what we need to do? We need to get on our knees and we need to bring it before the Lord and earnestly pray for people. Amen. Because God desires to use us. God wants to use us. Amen. And don't we want to be used by the Lord? Raise your hands if you want to be used by the Lord this morning. Amen. Well, I saw that, but more importantly, the good Lord saw that. Amen. Okay. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, Jesus was a fairly common name in those times, Joshua, and it means Yahweh saves, okay? So this name would be given to children, and when you would hear this name, it would be like a constant reminder. God is going to deliver me out of this situation. God is going to save his people. Yahweh saves. That's what the name meant, okay? So Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was not the only child named that, okay? Now, what they were looking for was somebody to set back up the kingdom, someone to drive out the Romans, okay? But God had a bigger plan, didn't he? Okay, Yahweh saves. That's the name of our Lord and Savior. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to save all of us sinners, amen? He came to set the captives free, amen? So Joseph and Mary, they're part of something very big. Amen? And you know, you can look at this church, you can look at your finances, you can look at this house, and you say, well, you know, this is what it is, and you know, there's not a lot of people here at this church, whatever. You know what I mean? Look, God wants to use this church. God's not done with this church. Amen? So sometimes we have to change the way we see things. Amen? We have to change the way we perceive things. And we got to rebuke the things that Satan tries to push in on us. Like, hey, this church ain't going nowhere. My family's just stuck in this rut. We're never gonna be able to really provide or do this or help anyone else out. Then you need to rebuke that noise, right? In the name of Jesus, right? And be obedient to what the Lord wants to do in our lives. And be willing to step out of that comfort zone so he can use you. Amen. And then those blessings are going to come in. Amen. Can I get a witness? She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's good news, right? Now, Joseph is getting this from the angel. And, you know, Joseph was laying there, and he falls asleep thinking, you know, what do I do? What do I do? And the best thing he could come up with would be to divorce her quietly, okay? But this angel appears and says, listen, I got a big plan for you. Matter of fact, we're going to stick with plan A. You still get to keep your dream girl, okay? But I want to use you guys for something awesome. Amen? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophet. Now, that's important, too. Because we're talking about being that servant this morning. We're talking about stepping out of our comfort zone and allowing the Lord to use us. Now, the angel is about to quote Isaiah, saying, hey, Joseph, this is what the scripture says, and you're part of that, okay? So that would be an amazing excitement to Joseph. Wow, what a humongous situation. Little old me, I'm part of this humongous story now. Okay, this is what the prophet spoke. Amen? So what I'm trying to say in our lives this morning, hear me out, guys. This is what the Lord's trying to say in our lives, that yes, he wants to use you, and yes, we want to be obedient to that calling, but the Lord is never going to call you to do something that does not line up with the Word of God. That makes sense? I can always run back to this Word and say, okay, I can do this. This is backed up by the Word of God. Does that make sense this morning? Okay. Okay, God is not going to give his okay. He's not going to sign off. He's not going to give his approval for you to steal money, steal things from work to further your radio ministry or something like that. That's not biblical. That cannot be backed up by the Word of God. Okay, so if you're starting to... If someone says, hey, I need you to, the Lord wants you to do this, okay, well, that needs to be confirmed, man. What does the Word of God say? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Okay. So the angel's saying this, and like, hey, this is what the Bible says. This is what the Scripture says. That's you. Amen? You're part of this big thing. Amen? Does that make sense this morning? So it's going to be backed up by the Word of God. I want to be used. But a test is, does it line up with the Word of God? Does that make sense? Don't starve your own family out, right? Don't starve them out so you can bless another family, right? That's not biblical. Don't buy tires for brother so-and-so if your wife's driving around on tires that are about to explode. You know what I mean? We got to use wisdom. Can I get a witness? And they shall call his name Emmanuel. Let me back up a little bit. Verse 23. Let's go to the next slide, guys. Thank you, Jesus. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is Isaiah 7 and verse 14 right here. This is what the angel is quoting. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to be his humble servant, to step out of our comfort zone. God will never ask you to do anything contrary to his word. So let that be a test. And God has peace for you. When you step out of your comfort zone, God has peace for you. Amen. Isn't that good? And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's a game changer right there, guys. Whatever I'm doing, God is with me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. That's like when I was a youngster, I'd go places with my dad. I'm talking about when I was a little kid. I didn't have no fear at all because my dad was with me. Now, I would do some stupid things sometimes because my dad was with me. You know what I mean? But I didn't have no fear because my father was with me. Okay. So God has some big stuff for us to do. Okay? And we don't have to be afraid. Whatever comes our way, whatever kind of trial you're in this morning, you don't have to have fear. The Lord doesn't want you to have fear. Fear is not of the Lord. Amen? Why? Because God is with me. We can do all things through Christ, man. Amen. Y'all with me so far? Okay. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. So he had a choice to make. He could have been like, man, that's weird. I'm out of here, man. I'm leaving. No divorce, no nothing. I'm gone. I'm going down the road. This is just too much. But he knew the Lord had spoke to him. And he knew what the Lord had said lined up with the word of God. So he was obedient. What did he do? He lined his will up with God's will. That's what we got to do, guys. You know, think about Joseph going away, preparing the house, getting everything set up. Every single nail he drove into the wood, every single thing he did. Surely, guys, you remember this before you got married. Not that you went and built a house for your wife and went and got her. Am I the only one that did that? No, I didn't do that. But, I mean, before, there's that time, man, where it's exciting, man. You know what I mean? I'm going to marry Rachel Dean. She sure is pretty. Yeah. Yeah. Thing about Rachel Dean is she just gets prettier and prettier. But any old hoot and holler, we'll talk about that next week. But, man, think about it. Everything he did, he was preparing this life for him and Mary. You know what I mean? Every single thing he did was reminding him of that one day when they would be together. The last thing on his mind was that he was going to be raising someone else's child, right? And the really, really the last thing on his mind, and you know this never, ever entered his mind, that I'm going to be raising the Son of God. I mean, how do you do that? Can you imagine taking, you know, little Jesus fishing? Well, Jesus, yeah, I'm usually a pretty good fisher, and I'm sorry we ain't caught nothing all night. Well, Dad, throw your net out on the other side. That's just a little story. That didn't happen. But what I'm saying is, man, he had to mega step out of his comfort zone. If I want to be obedient to the Lord, and that's what we're here for. Did y'all know that? We're here to give the Lord honor, give him glory, be obedient. You're not your own. You've been bought at a price. Amen? And that is a big, big price. Can I get a witness? The Son of God, the second man of the Trinity, the creator of the universe, yes, the creator of the universe, laid down his life so I could be set free, so I could be saved. So when he says, hey, everything does not have to be picture perfect the way you thought it had to go down, Joe. Okay? I have need of you. Okay? I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to be with you. Now let's do something bigger than ourselves and let's change the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. God is good. That's all I'm trying to say this morning. Turn to Luke 1, or it's on the monitor, Luke 1 and verse 30. So this is actually opposite of our natural way of thinking, you know what I mean? I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not that we don't want to bless people, and it's not that us as Christians, we don't love people and we don't have a heart for people. I'm not saying that. But sometimes we have to get out of that comfort zone, you know what I mean? Because we can be like, hey, you know, I give my tithe. I gave to Caring at Christmas. I feel good. I'm good. You know what I mean? I came down to the work day down at the church. And those things are great. And we need those things. And the Lord will bless you for those things. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes you can be about your day. You can be about your business. And you can see something. And you have a choice to make. You have a choice to make. Should I dig in and help? Amen. Should I do something about this? Or can I keep looking the other way? Okay. So that's what... That's when we need to be obedient to whatever the Lord tells us. Can I get a witness? Amen. Y'all with me so far? And it ain't always the easy thing. It ain't always the comfortable thing. Okay. Everyone at Luke 1. Luke 1 and verse 30. This is Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Same thing that was said to Joseph. Don't be afraid. I'm about to turn your world upside down, young lady. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, okay? God has need of us. God wants to use us. Amen? And one thing he wants us to remember is that I'm going to be with you, and I need you to have peace. I don't need you to be all freaking out, all crazy, all missing the mark, all being irrational, full of fear. Amen? But trust in me. Focus on me, and I promise I'll be there with you. I've called you to do this. I'm certainly not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm going to equip you with everything you need to get this done. Amen. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." That is a peculiar little thing right there. You have found favor with God. You have my favor. So I'm going to ask you to put the Son of God in your womb. I'm going to put the Son of God in your womb. People around town will think that you're a harlot, but you have my favor. Your mom and dad may disown you because they're not going to get it right away, right? They're not going to get it. Nothing's ever going to be the same for you, Mary, but you have my favor. Okay. You know, Moses was a friend of God's. Do you know that? And he went through some pretty hard times. Moses had the favor of the Lord. The apostle Paul had the favor of the Lord. This is how God treats his friends. But he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And see, he does things that we don't get, that we don't understand. You know what I mean? He's got a purpose. He's got a plan for you. And it's not always about you just feeling great and just tickled pink. You know what I mean? And now he gives you peace. Amen. And he'll provide for you. But he's all about shaking up everything that can be shaken. He's all about using you. Amen. Because you're here for his glory. Remember Moses, man, he had these people complaining nonstop. He had to intervene so they wouldn't be annihilated. They complained about everything. They wanted to kill him and all kinds of mess. But see, and Moses didn't want that job, and people were saying, "Oh, you just think you're so special, Moses." Remember Korah's rebellion? What makes you so special, Moses and Aaron? And Moses didn't even want that job. He was like, "I'm not the man for this job. I don't even talk good, God." No, let me give you peace, Moses. I'm going to be with you. I'll put the words in your mouth. I'll do the things you can't do. I just need your obedience. That's what God needs from us. He needs us to be obedient. You see what I'm saying? He'll do the things you cannot do. He'll do the heavy lifting. That does not always mean it's going to be a walk in the park. That does not always mean that it's going to be pain-free living. That does not mean that things are going to be easy. You know what I mean? But that's the place we want to be. Stepping out of that comfort zone and letting the Lord use us like little Mary and little and brother Joseph. Amen. Oh man, where in the world am I at? And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have favor. For you have found favor with God." I don't have the Lord's favor. I don't feel like I have the Lord's favor in my life. No, listen. Well, let me read to you what the angel said to the shepherds in Luke 2 and verse 14. I am hitting these Christmas verses for you Christmas people. Okay? Luke 2 and verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased, or peace to those on whom his favor rests. Okay, if I'm the Lord's kid, I have his favor. He smiles down on me. He can pick me out in the crowd. The Lord knows who is his. It's like when you think about your kid, you're like, oh, you just smile. Doesn't mean your kid's perfect. It doesn't mean that you don't have to withhold a blessing from your kid sometimes because you have to teach him a lesson. You see what I'm saying? It's not that you're not going to go through trials and storms and corrections, but you are his kid and you have his favor. Do you know? Does that make sense? You're his. You're his. He knows you're his. Okay. So Mary has his favor, and Mary's about to take on the toughest job of her life that is going to last the rest of her life. Amen? So let that be an encouragement to you this morning. It doesn't always have to feel good or be exactly how you thought it had to be in your life, but we want to be, we are here to be everything that God has called us to be. Amen? Y'all with me so far? Let's go to the next slide. Oh, no. Stay there. Stay there. You're right. You're right, young one. Luke 1 and 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means, that's Emmanuel, but good try. Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves him, doesn't he? 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne. Look at that. Underline that. The Lord God will give him the throne. See, that's what I'm talking about. God says, you be obedient. Mary, I'm not saying you start an army. You raise this kid, teach him how to fight with swords and Chinese stars and go and overthrow the Roman government. You know what I'm saying? Saying, I'll do the stuff you can't do. I need you to be obedient. Amen? Because that throws us for a loop sometimes. We feel like I want to be used by the Lord. I want to step out and do this. I really feel the tug, but I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how I'm going to get from point A to point B to point C to point Z. God says, listen, I've put that desire in your heart. I've showed you this situation. This is part of the reason why you're here. Amen? You just step out in faith. You be obedient to me, and I'll make a way where there is no way. Amen? Y'all with me? And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Of his father David? I thought his stepdad was Joseph. And then the dad is Jehovah God, Yahweh. The father David business. See, that's a promise right there. See, through the line of David was where the Messiah was going to come from. So that's what that's speaking about. So listen, I can stand on the word of God. God's not going to ask me to do anything that does not line up with the word of God. So if some cuckoo nut says, hey, you need to do this, this, and this, and it is like light years away from what the Bible says, you need to quietly and firmly and speedily step away. All right. Does that make sense? But guys, I'm going to use you. It's going to line up with the Bible, okay? The Lord said I need to leave my wife because she's not spiritual, which that's not true. I mean, that's I'm not breaking news to all you together. That's not what I'm saying. It was that people come up with some crazy stuff, man. Yeah, because God has aligned me with this person who is super, super spiritual. No, man, that's not biblical, dude. You need to chill out. You need to get some counseling, brother. You need to set up some time with Sister Claudia. Amen. God is good, right? I lost my train of thought. Is that okay, though? Right? Really? We could just stop. I can read this again, then it should come back to me. Vote. Okay. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Isn't that awesome? Of his kingdom there will be no end. So you know what, man? We need to be super, super excited about the return of Christ. You know what I mean? We need to get fired up about that because Jesus Christ came that first time. We hit on this last week, I believe. Yeah, last week. To set up his kingdom in our hearts. Amen? And he rules and reigns in our hearts because we're obedient servants, right? But you know what? There's a day fast approaching when he is going to set up a kingdom here on earth that will never, ever, ever go away. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So, you know, we can be excited about that, you know, because like I said, God does absolutely expect his children to be obedient and to step out of our little comfort areas. You know what I mean? And your life might be pretty tough for a long time, okay, because Mary's life wasn't no cakewalk. It wasn't no walk in the park. When she signed on that dotted line, you know what I mean? Her whole world changed. Now, I guarantee you it wasn't the picture-perfect plan she had with Joseph, and the same with Joseph. You know what I mean? But you know what? We're only here for a little minute, tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of our eternity. And it's going to be super awesome forever and ever and ever and ever. So we need to be stoked up and fired up about God has not a lifelong plan. He does have a lifelong plan for us. And there's things that he definitely wants to use you for in this life. Amen. But he's got plans for us, man, that would just blow our minds. Amen. We're going to be together forever and ever and ever. Amen. Everyone say he's got good stuff for me. And he does. He does. Think about that. When things get tough, when things get hard, man, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Amen? And if I put him first, if I seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, guess what? He's going to take care of me. And sometimes I hate to say that he'll just meet my needs because he's not just interested in meeting our needs, but that is a promise that if I put him first, he will take care of my needs. But rest assured, God wants to bless his kids too. He wants to bless his kids too, amen, but we don't need to get all bent out of shape and be one of these churches that we go around just chasing all the blessings, man. You know what I mean? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's put God first, amen, and he's going to bless us. He's going to give us good stuff, even stuff, you know what I mean, that you couldn't even really imagine. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? Because we think, you know, like, oh, well, I would settle for this. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, sometimes God just really wants to show you how awesome and amazing he is. Amen? Is God good? And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now, what does Mary say? We know Joseph went, when he got the news from the angel, he went and took Mary home to be his wife. What do you think Mary's going to do? I think she has baby Jesus. Let's see. Let's see what the text says. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." Okay. Didn't see this one coming. I didn't see this happening. But I am your servant. That's what we got to be. I didn't expect this to fall in my lap. I didn't expect to see this need. I didn't expect to hear about this. But you know what? I can't claim ignorance is bliss. I know this is going on. God, what do you want me to do about it? I am your servant. Amen? Y'all with me? And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen. God, you said it. I know you'll perform it. I'm just going to trust in you. And the angel departed from her. Now, Joseph and Mary's life is going to get turned upside down. They're going to have to run for their lives. They're going to have to go into Egypt. Life's about to get really tough, but God is a present help in time of trouble. Amen. And the place we want to be as a church, as a family, as an individual, the place we want to be is in the will of the Most High God. Amen. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we want. Amen. Now, look, Mary's reproach, the townsfolk ain't going to look on her very kindly. You know what I mean? Mary's reproach is now Joseph's reproach as well. See, that's why the Lord picked out this godly man, Joseph. You know, just a man of honor. He saw those building blocks, and he knew, this is what you're here for, Joseph. I know it's a little crazy sounding, but I need you. I need you to take care of my son. I need you to provide for my son. I need you to take care of my handmaiden and provide for her. And what does that mean for Joseph? Mary's reproach becomes his reproach. You know, he's not just the guy who Mary cheated on, which we know didn't happen. Y'all with me? But he's the knucklehead to everybody that married the girl that cheated on him in this culture, in this society. You know what I mean? But God's will be done. You know what I mean? I want to be what God calls me to be. So, you know, hey, doesn't matter if your family, your friends see what the Lord's doing in your life. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter if they get it. That's what I'm trying to say. We are here to serve the Lord. And, of course, we want approval of our family and all that stuff. But listen to me. You don't always get that. You don't always get the pats on the back. You don't always get people saying, oh, I see why you did that. People can look at you and be like, man, you are crazy. You are nuts, man. What are you doing taking in another kid in your house? Your house is full, man. You know what I mean? You're about that age now where it's time to chill out and relax, man, and do some little TiVo action. Maybe go fishing. No, I'm here because I'm an obedient servant, and I want to be what the Lord's called me to be. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Luke 2, go to Luke 2. Luke 2 and verse 6. Luke 2 and 6. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Now, this is the big journey right here. Talking about stepping out of your comfort zone. I am your servant, Lord. Your will be done. Mary says those words. The next thing you know, she's on a journey with her husband to Bethlehem, which wasn't no walk in the park itself. This was like on a big high mountain from where they had to go. They were very treacherous and dangerous. Okay? You ever drove in a car with a lady that was very pregnant? Okay. Didn't work either. Never mind, I'm making notes for later. Not really. Okay, well, anyways, imagine this lady. She's super pregnant, on the back of a donkey, mule, whatever's going on here. She had to be in excruciating pain. That's what I'm saying. You're here to give God glory. Amen. We're here to be his obedient children, right? Doesn't always feel good, but he's with us, right? He's with us. I'll never leave you, and I'll give you the strength, the provision, everything you need for this journey. Amen? And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for him in the inn. So Joseph models this obedient servant beautifully. Mary, same thing. But look at the Son of God. Look at Jesus of Nazareth. No fanfare, you know what I mean? No parades through the streets of Bethlehem, no fireworks, no nurses, no midwives, no family there. You know, Mary had to think, you know, when this goes down, when I have my baby with Joe, you know, when the family around, Mom will be there, and she'll say, don't worry, you'll get through it. I've done it plenty of times, you know, whatever. But it didn't work out that way at all. She's in a place where she never thought she'd be having this baby. She's having this baby in a barn. Were you born in a barn?
My kids think they
live
in a barn.
Amen. Mine too. None of us can claim we were born in a barn, but the Son of God was born in a barn, right? He was born in a barn. Okay. So this whole thing, this sense of entitlement us Western Christians have, this Burger King type philosophy, your way, wide away, I'm an American, I'm a Christian, things need to be going my way, God is my genie in the bottle, that's all rubbish and needs to be pushed aside. You know what I mean? The Son of God was born in a barn. Amen. It's not about you, it's about him. Y'all with me? Matthew 28, there you go. Matthew 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, Jesus Christ didn't come into town making all kinds of demands. He washed his disciples' feet. He washed Judas's feet, knowing Judas was minutes away from betraying him. You know what I mean? He models beautifully, perfectly, what kind of servant we are to be. Amen? Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Okay, that's what Jesus did. That's the template we're to follow, is to be sold out for the Lord's business. I got to be about my Father's business. That's what I'm here for, even if it costs me my life. Everybody said, whoa. It's true, though, right? It's true, though. Even if it costs me my life, you know, it cost Jesus his life. Even as the Son of Man came not to be saved, but to serve. I'm sorry, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So let's dismiss that whole thing that my life should be just like this because I'm at this age, or I should be making this type of money because I'm this educated, or people need to treat me this way because of who I am or who my daddy was. All God's people went, pfft. Because that's what that is, man. But Jesus wasn't like that. He came to serve. And he models that for us. Are y'all with me? Philippians 2 and verse 4. Now, this will be the last verse if you guys get really, really excited. If not, I'm starting over. Did I do that? Did I actually do that in front of you guys? It happened. In church, Philippians 2, hey, God has a sense of humor. That's right, God has a sense. Super Sister Claudia, not so much. No, I'm playing. But God has a sense of humor. That's what you got to say when you're done bit off more than you can chew. Philippians 2 and verse 4, this is us, okay? Let each of you look not only to his own interests. Okay, so there we go again. Listen, I'm not saying, you know, Pastor Paul said take the food and off of my table. You know, take the food away from your kids. I'm not saying that, okay? That's absolutely positively, that's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying go get your kids' Christmas presents and give them to mine. Not a bad idea, though. All right? The Lord will bless you. You can't outgive God. No, I'm playing. Or am I? Okay, now listen. Let's get serious. Okay? I'm not saying starve your kids, right? So you can bless somebody else's family. Now, we have responsibilities to our own family, right? But if you can bless somebody and you see that need and the Lord's telling you to do something, because he might just say, hey, I want you to pray about this. Hey, I might want you to get some people together and pray about this. You know what I mean? then that's what we're supposed to do. So that's one thing. We really need to learn to listen to that still small voice. But if you see something, I guarantee you the Lord wants you to do something about it. Amen? And not look the other way. Can I get a witness? Okay. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay. You see something. Do whatever we can do about it. The Lord tells you to do something, we better dig in and do something. Like little Mary, she said, I'm your servant. Joseph went and took Mary home as his wife. Amen. The Son of God was born in a barn. So I think we can step out of our comfort zone and be a blessing to somebody in this congregation, somebody in this community. Amen. Jesus, we love you and we praise you so much, Lord. You are awesome. You are everything, Lord God. Thank you that you are going to.